Amen. I'm excited to see the believers when they're free. And certainly this has been a day that we have been free in the Lord. But everybody's not there yet. So we continue to pray and seek the will of God for their lives. Everybody's not there yet. But God loves you. And he wants you to be free. Everybody's not there yet. But God loves you and wants you to be free. Everybody's not there yet. But God loves you and he wants you to be free. Everybody is not there yet. But God loves you and he wants you to be free. See, everybody is not there yet. But God still loves you and wants you to be completely free. So when you enter this sanctuary, you can freely raise your hands and say, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for my deliverance. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Thank you, God, for breaking the chains in my life. Thank you, God, for thinking I was worth saving. Thank you, Lord God. So everybody's not there yet. But God died. He sent Jesus to die that you can get there. All you have to do is believe it and open your heart and dump that junk that you have deep down inside. Let us pray, church. Almighty God, our Father, which art in heaven, God, we thank you for what you've done just this day in this place, God. And God, we thank you for your spirit in this place, God. God, we thank you that you have a plan for abundant life to deliver us all so we can all be set free. That we truly can worship you in spirit and in truth, God. So we thank you, God, in advance that we will become one, God. Move in unity, Lord, and in love, God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in our church, God. Thank you, God, that we will be unified, God. Thank you, God, that we will move based on your word, God. We just thank you, Lord God, for that. And we thank you, God, for forgiving us, God. Even to this very minute, Lord God, we thank you for forgiving us, God, even for thoughts that we've had that inside these walls this morning, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving us, Lord God. Now, God, we pray for our sick and shut in, Lord God, that they will feel your presence wherever they are and know that you are a healing and a loving God. Now, God, if there be anything in me, strip it away right now in the name of Jesus. For if you give it to me, Lord, I will stand boldly before your people and speak it, Lord God. I said yes a long time ago, Lord God. So there is no turning back now. So Holy Spirit, sweep through here and heal, comfort, mend, reconcile, deliver your people. Let your presence, your anointing, your glory be felt throughout this building. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we do pray. Let the church say amen. God said everybody's not there yet. But he loves you. Still. So this morning, we're going to the book of Acts. We're studying Acts in Bible study for those of you that do not attend yet. And we're going to the first chapter of Acts. So when you have found the first chapter of Acts, we ask that you stand. Some trivial. Acts is the third longest book in the New Testament. Only Matthew and Luke are longer than Acts. Luke and Acts comprise 30% of the New Testament. Just in case someone asked you. Just in case someone asked you. So when you're standing, you're acknowledging that you have found Acts in your Bible and that you are ready to read along with me. As the NIV Bible reads, I will simply read one verse. Amen. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And the word of God reads this way. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. I believe that Jesus is speaking this word this morning to us as he spoke it also to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And with this Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So our message title this morning comes in the form of a question. And I want each and every person to begin to ponder, really, what is my answer to this question? And it's very simple, and I'm sure you'll remember it during the week. The question for Abundant Life Christian Ministries and all that are present. Will you be a witness? Will you, with your busy schedule, be a witness? Working two jobs, will you be a witness? Important on your job, will you be a witness? Got it going on, looking mighty good, but the question for you this morning is, will you be a witness? Told people, you know I'm busy, I got stuff to do, got to go to work, can't do that. Will you be a witness? I just want you to begin to think, because see, God has a purpose and a mission for our church. So will you get on board and will you be a witness? Will you cast some of the worldly stuff aside sometimes? And God is asking the question to Abundant Life Ministry, will you be a witness? I don't think you're going to forget the title. I pray you don't, because I'm going to say it one more time. God said, will you be a witness for me? Will you cast aside some of those friends that you think are so important? Will you be a witness? Will you stop doing some of that sinful stuff that you're doing? Will you be a witness? Will you stop lying and deceiving people? Will you be a witness? Will you stop gossiping in the church? And will you be a witness? God has something for us this morning, but he wants to know, will you be a witness? I got that new church home for you, but will you be a witness? God has something for each one of us, but will you be a witness for him? Hallelujah, Lord God. Will you be a witness? Are you willing to put some of that stuff aside? Will you be a witness? Will you put the alcohol and drugs aside? Will you be a witness? Come on, somebody in here needs to acknowledge God has done so much for you that I will be a witness. Holy Spirit, hallelujah, Lord God. Will you be a witness? Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, for your presence. So let's just go to what I had in mind. What I had in mind. I'm going to try to do it a little calmly and a little orderly. Hallelujah. But that really is the question God has for abundant life. He wants us to be a light to the world. He's calling us to be different. And he wants to be first. Come on, you all know we put so much stuff in front of God. Oh, yes, we do. But God is saying to the church, I have greatness for you. But will you receive it and be a witness for me? Amen. And we oftentimes hear many sermons and have many services about what God is able to do and what God can do for us. And we get all excited. Yeah, God is going to give me the new car. God is going to give me this. And he just may do that. But this morning, we're going to talk about what you can do for God. Mm-hmm. So this is not the time to check out your neighbor to your right or to the left. But it is a time for you to refocus on your relationship with your Lord and Savior. It truly is a time to put the mirror in the man or woman's face and talk to God this morning. Talk to the one who gave you life, the one who died for you, the one who forgave your sin. The one that died that you may truly have life and have it more abundantly. And I want everyone, God is saying everyone needs to reflect this morning on basically how are you living and will you be a witness for me? Now last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. And we had a guest preacher, and we did not talk about the Pentecost experience. However, our God is saying, take the people back and talk about Pentecost. The time when God sent the Holy Spirit to his church. Now, we know that Pentecost means 50. And so there is 50 days after Jesus' resurrection that it begins to outline in Acts 2 when God sent the Holy Spirit. See, he had promised it in the New Testament. Jesus had said that there will be a comforter. I'm going away, but I'm going to send a comforter. And this morning it was read, the Bible says, suddenly, like a blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the house. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. See, wind is an analogy of the Spirit. The wind is not seen, but the effects of the wind can be felt. So as we began to discuss Acts in Bible study, we've learned some things over the last couple of weeks that it was written by the physician Luke. I just want you to have some knowledge of your Bible. Then we're going to talk about what you believe and how to apply it. Amen. See, Luke is writing this account of the birth of the church. And this is the beginning of the Christian church. And this book tells us what happened to Jesus' followers. It gives us a history, you all. The book is often called the Acts of the Apostles because it lays out what the apostles did when Jesus ascended into heaven. It's also called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because it tells us about the coming and the work of God's Spirit after Jesus' resurrection. Read the book, you all. In this book, you see the move of the Holy Spirit forming God's church, empowering the church, and expanding the outreach of the church. It covers 30 years, a little more, of our Christian history. Are you a Christian? You should know your history. Amen. It talks about this flame of faith. There was a fire for God. The people preached. The people were teaching. The people prayed. They healed. And they demonstrated the love of Christ. And they demonstrated the love of Christ. I just want to just pause there for a moment, because it is so easy for us to talk about love in the church, but it's more difficult to demonstrate love in the church. I know somebody know what I'm talking about. See, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not gossiping. It is not gossiping. It is not gossiping. It is not self-seeking. Why did I say gossiping three times? It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrong. Yes, if we say we are the church, and that we are Christians, we must operate and live out this word in the most excellent way. See, Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians, in the most excellent way. We must follow the commandment of our Lord and Savior that says we are to love each other. Because love never fails. Yes, I talk about love a lot. Because love truly is the answer to heal the issues within our church. Come on. Just think about that. Love is the way. Whatever is going on in our church, love is the way. Because, see, love never fails. Love does not put a knife in your back. Love is not talking about you. See, certain things love will not allow you to do. See, however, as human beings in this fleshly body, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to love in this manner. Do you have it? Do you have that power? Do you have the Holy Ghost power? See, you can tell who has the power based on what they do and based on what they say. So I'm praying the entire church will get the power. The Holy Ghost power, the power that God sent just for us to operate here on earth. So let us go back to the morning text. See, these are Jesus' last spoken words to his disciples as he was making his way on back to heaven to be seated on the right hand of God, the Father. Jesus told his disciples, and I do believe it's a relevant word for us today. Jesus said, I didn't say this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, come upon you. So I ask the question, do you have that power? Do you have the Holy Ghost power? Do you have it this morning? Really? So Jesus was on his way on back. I said, he going to the Father. So he opens with this conversation with his disciples. Unlikely people. He gave them a mission, you all. And the mission was not impossible because he was leaving the power for them. See, this is still relevant for us today. In order to carry out our assignment, to carry out our mission, to carry out our purpose in the church, as God's witnesses, don't try to do it without the power. Don't try to do it without the power. Yeah, I know you got many degrees and you're highly talented and you got all kind of experience, but without the power of the Holy Ghost, you will be ineffective. Don't try to do it without him. You must be connected to the power source. Whatever your assignment is, if you're going to sing, you sing with the power. If you're to greet somebody at the door, don't try to do it without the power. Whatever you're doing, teaching Bible study, don't you try to do it without that power. Come on, people of God. Whatever your assignment is in the church, don't you try and do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads and directs us to the truth. Don't you do it without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus knew about his disciples. He had been with them 3.5 years. He had taught them. He knew that they were fearful. Oh, yes, they were. Because you all know about it in Matthew 28. They were fleeing. They were denying him. They were disillusioned. They were locked down behind closed doors during the crucifixion. These were the candidates that he was actually sending out to the world. Yeah, he can use us too. But he assured them in Acts that they would not go alone, that they would not be powerless, because he was going to give them power. See, the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, would fall upon them, dwell with them, so that they could complete their mission. See, it's a word for us in here. Oh, yes, there's a word for us. So he told them they would start in Jerusalem, the city where they had actually forsaken their Lord and Savior. That's where you're to begin to give this good news. So the Bible tells us that as soon as the Savior had commissioned them and given them their assignment, what happened? He went on back to heaven. And he had commissioned them to do their assignment with excellence, to preach, to tell somebody about their Lord and Savior. So as they waited on the Holy Spirit, he told them, don't go anywhere without it. Don't we try to do stuff without the Spirit. Come on, y'all. Try to make your own decisions without seeking the Spirit of God. Come on. How does that work for you? Really? So as they waited, the Bible tells me, in order to accomplish God's mission, he said they were praying. They were on one accord. Something for the church. I believe this is for us. The expression of one accord appears 11 times in Acts. The Bible tells us this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. See, God is taking us someplace. So he's telling us, love each other and move in unity. How good and pleasant it is. See, a house divided cannot stand, you all. How good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessings. Mm-hmm. Just something for us, love and unity, things about it. The Bible said as they waited for the Holy Spirit, they also prayed. Now we're going to love. We're going to get on one accord, and now we're going to pray. Today, as disciples, God's work through his people who pray. Because prayer changes things. Prayer makes the difference. The Bible tells us that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So Jesus also said, you may ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. But this word is for believers. If you desire excellence in our church, in our ministries, we must pray. We must love each other. We must move in unity, and we must pray. This is the word of God for the people of God this morning, because God is taking us higher, you all. But we must get with it. Everybody's not going with us. Some will fall by the wayside. Everybody can't go. But the ones that are going are going to be loving, going to be in unity, and going to pray. Amen? So I'm going to try to wind this up, because this is all God wants us to do. He wants us to be witnesses for him. So I ask you that question. What gift did God give you that you can use to glorify him here on earth? See, I just believe God has given us all at least one gift. And are you using it to be a witness for him? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Come on, be real with yourself. Don't look at anybody else. Are you really using your gift to be a light to the world? Are you really using your gift to bless somebody? Are you really being a witness for him? See, I would suggest to you this morning, you say, you got enough church officers. I don't need to be up in the church all the time. I know who the who's who. I don't need to be doing all that stuff. I come on Sunday. But God needs witnesses. As long as there is black on black crime, God needs witnesses. As long as our children are dying in the street, God needs witnesses. As long as family members are addicted to drugs and alcohol, God needs witnesses. As long as people are suffering, dying, hungry, depressed, God needs witnesses. As long as people feel like they want to commit suicide, God needs witnesses. As long as people are depressed, God needs witnesses, you all. As long as there's drive-by shootings in our communities, that gets to my spirit. God needs witnesses. As long as our children are not safe in the classroom, God needs you. God needs witnesses, you all. As long as there's hatred, oppression, prejudice, racism, God needs you. God needs witnesses. See, there is just so much going on in the world today. And God needs his witnesses to move about the earth, to be the difference that make the difference. So I'm going to ask you this relevant question this morning. Once again, will you be a witness? Mm-hmm. Will you be a witness for him? Come on, somebody. Will you be a witness for your Lord and Savior, the one that died for you? He's done it all, you all. Will you be willing to say, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is a power unto salvation to everyone who believes? Will you, come on, somebody in here, be a witness? If you believe this gospel, will you be a witness for your Lord and Savior? Will you tell somebody about the goodness and the greatness and the faithfulness of God? Will you tell somebody they don't have to keep struggling? Jesus has done it all. Will you tell somebody that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish? Will you tell somebody that Jesus didn't come to condemn you but came to save you? Will you tell somebody? Will you tell a backslider that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but all you have to do is confess your sin? He's faithful and just to forgive you. Will you tell somebody? Are you willing to be a witness for him? Cast it in your fear aside, because Christians are so fearful, and moving with the power of the Holy Ghost. Will you tell somebody about your testimony, how God healed your body, how God delivered you from drugs, how God comforted you? Will you tell somebody? Will you tell somebody about the joy of Jesus and the peace of your Lord and Savior, the peace that surpasses all understanding? Will you tell somebody? Will you give somebody your testimony? Because testimonies help others. I heard somebody say, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. Are you willing to tell somebody? Are you a secret Christian holding on to your belief for yourself? Or are you willing to tell somebody? See, I just decided, you all know I'm just sold out now. A long time ago that I was going to be a witness for my God. I'll tell people, fear not, for the Lord is with you. Be not dismayed, for he's your God. See, I don't mind telling people about what God has done for me. So is there anybody here this morning that's willing to stand and take a stand and say, yes, Lord, I will be your witness. I will commit, Lord God, to be the difference that will make a difference in a world where people are just hurting. Come on, anybody willing to say, yes, Lord, completely yes to your will and to your way. From the bottom of my heart, Lord God, I say yes. Is there anybody here that says, not my will, but thou will be done? Anybody in this place to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I give my everything. I'm going to leave those people behind. I'm going to leave the drugs behind. I'm going to leave the alcohol behind. I'm going to leave my old ways behind. Yes, Lord. Anybody in here that's willing, because we have a great work to do, you all. But everybody can't go with us. You must be able to say, yes, Lord, I will be your witness. See, I remember this. A songwriter wrote this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very and deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Will you be a witness for a God like that? Love lifted me. See, God, love lifted me. Will you be a witness? Come on, somebody. God wants all of us to participate. It's not just for the preachers and the deacons and the leaders of the church. God wants you. God wants you. I can't make eye contact with everybody because they're kind of looking down. But God wants you. Don't be scared. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he sent the power of the Holy Ghost to lead and direct you. If you have that power, stand all over the sanctuary. If you have the power of the Holy Ghost, tell somebody, he stayed on that cross just for me. He could have come down, but he stayed there for me. So I challenge all of you under the sound of my voice this morning to be a witness for our God. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, you have power to accomplish so much. Stop trying to figure it out on your own, but seek the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to be real with yourself this morning. It's time for us to stop playing church and coming back and forth every Sunday. It's time for us to be world changers, you all. When we walk in a room, it should change the atmosphere because we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us. When we walk someplace and people are depressed, the atmosphere should shift. Because of the power. Do you realize how much power you have? You do not have to live a defeated life. It's time for the people of God to rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and take your rightful place here on earth and make some changes. It's time for you to say, not my will, but thou will be done in me, Lord God.